In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Your mercies are new every morning, and your compassion never fails, and you have reserved them for us, your children. Dear Lord, this afternoon, show mercy to us. Change somebody's life today. Bring a turnaround in our destinies. Do a quick work. Let everything that has been long awaited and overdue manifest in our lives. Give us testimonies that will glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to pray some prayers before we sit down. I may start ministering before we get to sit down. This is power service, so it's not really a teaching service as it were. But I just sense in my spirit that there are some things that should be delivered into our lives, and it must not escape this season. Are you ready? Are you ready at all? This is the kind of service where you are not distracted. That young man at the back, that one talking, the one with checked shirt. Yes, you sir. Please leave that discussion and focus. That's why you came. Yes, you by the window. Yes, sir. All right? With all due respect. This is a service where you are not distracted. You can do that discussion later. Let's just get ready for what God wants to do. I sense that we are in a season of deliverables. Are you hearing me? And I also sense that this service is a carryover service. Some of the things that will happen today should have happened at the miracle service. Amen? And you know, after today, we just have 2 more days to end this month. But whatever God has designed for you, this season will not escape this season. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, this is a service where I lead you to pray and you pray. And as you pray, the Spirit of God will begin to speak to me and I know where to start from. Amen? So, please, when I tell you to open your mouth and pray, you pray. Psalms 27 verse 7. Psalms 27 and verse 7. It says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice," not with my thoughts. Are you hearing? Not with my thoughts, not with my wish, when I cry with my voice. If God knows everything about your life, why does he ask you to pray? It's because when you pray, you give him the right of access to come in and invade your life and perfect what he has started. You give him the right of access to come in, infiltrate and destroy everything that the enemy may have planted. That's the reason why even though God knows everything about you, he still tells you to pray. Another reason is because sometimes your faith can be communicated in the desperation of your voice. The Bible says that Jesus was passing by Jericho and blind Bartimaeus heard that he was passing. He was already blind, meaning that he was disadvantaged. He didn't have sight, but he had a voice. You have eyes and you have a voice. Amen. He had no eyes, but he had a voice. He knew that where his eyes couldn't see, his voice could travel to. And the Bible says he didn't stop shouting, "Son of David." He kept crying until Jesus stood still and sent for him. So I want you to pray today like you have lost your mind. Are you hearing me? If you have ever been desperate in prayer, you listen. If you see people who know the power of prayer, you will know it when you see them pray. Anybody who has seen the power of prayer manifest in their life, you will know it when you see them pray. They don't joke when they pray, because they know what happens when they cry to God. There are seasons in my life when I have had to pray because that was the only option I had. And I tell you the truth, if the only option you have is to call upon God, is the right option. In the name of Jesus Christ. And when we lift up our voice to pray, God will open the files of many people here. I said God will open the files of many people here. I said God will open the files of many people here. In the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to pray. The first prayer is going to be against stagnation. Psalms 40 verse 1 and 2. The first prayer is going to be against stagnation. Anything that has kept you in one spot, it's time to break free from it and get into the next level. Psalms 40 verses 1 and 2. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit." That's the pit of stagnation. A horrible pit. You know, you can't move when you are in a pit. You are just there. Are you hearing me? "And out of the miry clay." How many of you have sunk into mud or clay before? It's as if you try to come out and you are going inside the mud, isn't it? The Bible says, "He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps." Because the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This man, if he had remained in the pit, there was no step to order. So God had to take him out of the pit of stagnation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For some of us, before God can start doing anything, he needs to bring you out of that place of stagnation. Wherever you have been kept long enough, in your career, in your business, some of you in marital settlement. Stagnation can happen in many ways. But say after me, in the name of Jesus, every pool of stagnation. Nation. I saw a letter. Maybe this one will make you people pray. I saw a letter while I was sitting down there, and I saw something like British Council. And that letter is for somebody here. Let's pray a little bit more and then I will announce what is there. God is about to open a major door for somebody. Are you ready to pray? You see, you never can tell which miracle will hit you. Are you hearing me? Now, all you need to do is get ready and open your heart to receive. But you see, stagnation is the one thing that fights people from entering where God wants them to be. Some of you, your entire family is experiencing stagnation. But in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, every pool of stagnation, God is bringing you out of it today. Say, in the name of Jesus, I break free, and I step out
of every pool of stagnation.
Every pool of stagnation.
Of every pit of stagnation.
Of every pit of stagnation.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Open your mouth and pray. Every pool of stagnation. Every pit. Everything that has trapped my life, my destiny, my family in the pool of stagnation. By the power in the name of Jesus, I step out, I break free, I break loose, 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 I break loose. We come out of that pool of stagnation. We come out of that pool. We come out of that pool. We come out of that pool. Every piece of stagnation, I'm coming out, I'm coming out, I'm coming out, I'm coming out.
Again, listen, we're going to pray that prayer again. Please listen to me. Let me share a testimony with you. A few years ago, I met a military officer, and as I later would learn from him, they said if they post an officer, he's supposed to stay about 2 years in a place. 2 years. Once it's 2 years, if you are in the army, you stay nothing more than 2 years. When it's 2 years, they move you from there. As at the time I was talking with this officer, please listen, he had stayed 5 years in Borno State. No transfer, no foreign course, nothing. No promotion. I knew something was wrong. Amen. But the Bible says by a prophet he brought them out. And you know I'm laughing. It was around this period. It was around this time of the year that things changed for him. So long story short, the young man he came to see me. It was in October, I think, something like that. He said it was his birthday, so came to see me. That was when he shared everything. I said, why is it like this? Then he brought a seed. And then I prayed for him. Now, I think he had spoken with some other people. I don't know what they told him. You know, so he brought his international passport. I didn't know he brought it. It was in his pocket. So when I was praying for him, I spoke to him. I told him that your passport will soon be stamped and you will leave this country. Then he stood up and then he brought the passport. He said, Daddy, I brought the passport. I said, yes, I know. You will soon leave this country. Long story short, after about 1 or 2 months, he left on course abroad. When he came back to Nigeria, they brought him here and reposted him to Port Harcourt. Now, you know, because that was part of the prayer. That was part of the prayer too. You know, when they post you to the oil part of Nigeria, you know you are settled. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not dry land. It's the land flowing with milk and oil. In the name of Jesus Christ, please lift your hands.
Anyone whose career has been under or in the pool of stagnation, anyone that has been trapped in stagnation for a long time, anything that has kept your life under pause, that has tied you to a spot, anything that you cannot explain, that has made it impossible for you to move from where you are to where you ought to be, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you are coming out of it. You are coming out of it. I said you are coming out of it. You are coming out of it. In the name of Jesus. You have taken all the glory. You have taken all the praise. You have taken all the dominion. You have taken all the praise. And you've made them yours. Highest praise to the King. And you've made them yours. Listen. You have broken all the altars. You have broken all the chains. You have broken all the altars. You have broken all the curses. And you have taken all the glory. You have taken all the praise. You have taken all the dominion. You have taken all the praise. And you made them yours. You made them yours. We give you the highest. We give you the highest.
Hallelujah.
Everything that has kept your life on that pause. Some of you, there are projects you have that you have not been able to continue. But I pray in the name of Jesus, that mystery of stagnation comes to an end in this service. As I'm making this decree, God is releasing angels right now. He's releasing his angels to set in motion what has been kept under pause. I said you are coming out of that stagnation. You are coming out of that stagnation in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hear me. Anything that has resisted you, any object of resistance that the enemy has raised against you, in this service, that resistance will be resisted.
You know there are altars. Listen. How would you mention that young man's case? Now, I wish I had the time to continue his whole story. The whole thing changed in 1 year. Traveled abroad, came back, went to the south, came back, bought a car. And that's something he could not do for how many years? By just one prophetic word. That's because it's not just a word. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. The question I always ask myself is, does God have a mouth? Yes, you are looking at it. The Bible says God is spirit. Huh? And Jesus said a spirit has neither flesh nor bone. So when the Bible says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, God does not have mouth, he's a spirit. God does not have hand, he's a spirit. The hand and the mouth of God is us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The mouth of God is a servant that he sends to you part time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anyone here that is into any project and that project has been delayed, in the name of Jesus, we kickstart it with speed. We kickstart it with speed. We kickstart it with speed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 10 verse 13. Daniel 10 verse 13. We are going to pray two more prayers before we sit down. There's somebody I want to pray for. And just bring it a little bit. There's somebody I want to pray for. And it's like you have a sister or a cousin sister, a sister figure around you with the name Angel. I want to pray for you. You have a sister figure around you with the name Angel. That's the way God is identifying the person. You have a sister. Or maybe a cousin sister who is bearing the name Angel. This may not be the name she was born with. But maybe she gave herself the name or something, but I saw that name, Angel, and I want to pray for you. Because that's how God is helping me to identify you. I said I saw a letter. And written on that letter is like British Council. I don't know who is applying anything that has to do with Britain. But I think I will just pray for anyone that is... I think we'll just pray for people who are trusting God for offers abroad. I think we'll just pray for that. But I saw a letter. Something British Council there. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, this is like, I think it's a visa application. Like a visa application. It's like a visa application. I know there may be people applying to different, but this is Britain. That's what I'm saying. Britain. Alright? So call me if you are the one. We'll start with the hard cases today. We'll start with that. And then we'll see how far God will take us. Daniel chapter 10 verses 13. Daniel chapter 10 verses 13. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. In this season, I receive angelic assistance. I receive angelic help. In the name of Jesus. We are going to come against every resistance.
The Bible says, according to that scripture, that the prince of Persia withstood me. Some of you are being resisted by altars. Some of you are being resisted by forces that are invisible. It's time to deal with those forces. Are you hearing me this afternoon? Are you ready to pray? I said, are you ready to pray? We are going to deal with every resistance around your life. Some of you, you are resisted in your finances. Some of you in your career. Some of you in one aspect of your life or the other. Some of you, anytime you try to make a move for marital settlement, all kinds of resistance will come in. Even to the point where you yourself are part of the manipulation. Have you seen that before? The reason why some people have not married is because they are also being manipulated. Indecision can be a manipulation. You don't know. Indecision can be a manipulation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many people don't know what witchcraft is. Witchcraft means to bend. It's a practice that bends. So the plan is to ensure that you are not thinking straight. That's what a witch does. Some people can be manipulated mentally, either not to make decisions when they should make a decision, and then when the opportunity passes, it's like a veil is taken from their eyes. Have you seen that before? We are going to deal with resistance tonight. Are you ready to pray? Please find out who is.
Yes.
I didn't say your friend. If it's your friend, go and sit down. I said sister.
Yes, sir.
All right. And I want to pray for the person. All these people?
Yes, but we have one person for the British.
Come. Who is that person?
Yes, she's better.
What was it? What?
Applying for a scholarship from British Council.
You applied for what?
A scholarship from British Council.
Did you tell me? Did you send me an email? Have we seen this week? All right. I saw it, British Council. I saw the logo and I saw it written there. And I want to pray for you. Maybe we'll start and also pray for everyone that is doing any kind of abroad offer. What kind of scholarship is that?
Masters, London School of Economics.
Wow. How many of you are applying for anything overseas? Can you please just come? Let me pray for you. If you're applying for anything overseas, just come. Let me use that one to pray. But my dear, I didn't see it because it's not going to work. The fact that I saw it means it's going to work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? British Council. Are you serious? No, I didn't say you are applying in your dream. I didn't say about to apply. If all of you leave Nigeria, who will remain? Oh, we will now be here, we'll be praying. Okay, we should be the ones praying. Now, wow. In their mind now, they want to leave Nigeria for all of us. Amen. But we serve a God that does the impossible. Amen. Bethel, take 3 steps. 1, 2, 3. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, every resistance. Before I make the decree over you, we need to pray this prayer. Are you hearing me? We need to pray this prayer. Say, every resistance around my life and my destiny, in the name of Jesus, be
resisted. Be resisted.
Every force assigned to resist my destiny, my advancement, be resisted now. Open your mouth and pray. 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 Every force. Leke baragaya dagada. O presika plarate ke leki planina. Lekaria seke prame katala garade gaziba. Pray. Every resistance. Aradeke siyakaya. Some of you are not praying. Every resistance. You are here, moving in this place. We worship you. We worship you. You are here, touching every life. We worship you. We worship you. You are here, changing destiny. We worship you. We worship you. You are here, shifting every life. We worship you. Hide in the darkness. That is who you are. Baby, miracle walk. Promise me. Hide in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Baby, miracle walk. Promise me. Hide in the darkness. That is who you are. Hey, alabasikoya. Eke barakobo sika barada. Shika barake la bahasika. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. Some of you are close. Some of you are close to your breakthrough. But there are forces. Are you ready to pray? Say after me, in the name of Jesus. Every satanic device of delay positioned around my life, hear me,
You just know it's the devil when you are close to something and it's difficult to get it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you get close to something and it's becoming more difficult, you know the devil is involved. Satan cannot deny what God has designed for you, but he can delay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it's the delay we want to deal with today. Are you hearing me? There are a few of you in the front that I will point to and pray for, because it's time to move. Are you hearing me? A few of you I'll point to and pray for. It's time to move. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say after me, every satanic device of delay positioned around my life to slow my progress, be arrested and destroyed in the name of Jesus. Pray that for 2 minutes. Be arrested and destroyed. Let it be destroyed. Let it be destroyed. Let it be destroyed. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all power and positions. Your name stands above them all. So come by your hands. Are you ready to receive? Please lift your hands. Even now, while your hands are lifted, I see the Lord loosing off chains from the hands of people. Lift up your hands. The power of God will come on some people right now. Father, I stretch my right hand from the front to the back, in the name that is above every other name. Lord, let everyone that has been held captive, everyone that has been held bound, everyone that has been stagnated in any aspect of their life, Father, the power to reposition them and give them speed be released now. The power that brings them out of stagnation and gives them speed be released now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let those chains, whatever they represent, cast around the hands of your people
be loosened and destroyed. Be loosened and destroyed. Be loosened and destroyed. Be loosened and destroyed. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Please keep your hand lifted. Anyone here connected to any altar where it looks like the issues of your destiny are being remoted? Or once you are getting close to a breakthrough, something just comes up to make it difficult or makes it impossible. Anyone here that has been monitored, placed under surveillance by evil altars, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Ghost, we disconnect you from those altars. We disconnect you from those altars. We disconnect you from those altars. We disconnect you from those altars now. In the name of Jesus. Please allow me to just walk a little bit. Just bring it down a little bit. I'm coming back to you people here. Amen. I'm still ministering. Please lift your hands, everybody. Don't look at me. Just focus on Jesus. There's a woman that the Lord is showing me. I don't know where you are, but I see that a power of God is strong in this meeting. There's a woman here. What is manipulating you is an altar from your husband's side. But in the name of Jesus, I set those altars on fire now. Altars of your father's house, that places, just close your eyes, don't look at me. All right? Every altar of your father's house that has placed your destiny on surveillance, I declare it is broken. I declare it is broken. I declare it is broken. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let those forces be arrested. Huh? There's somebody. This number will make sense to you. I don't know who you are, but it will make sense to you. 613. I don't know what it is, but it makes sense to you. Meet me at the front. Every satanic device of delay around your life. Some of you, it has betrayed your efforts. You don't seem to know what is sabotaging your efforts. You've done everything you know to do, prayed and fasted and everything. But here in this service, we command those forces to be arrested. Arrested now. You are here, moving in this place. We worship you. We worship you. You are here, touching every life. We worship you. We worship you. There's a reason why I'm here. You are here, healing every sickness. Who came with this woman? Who came with her? You invited her? It's your mom?
Goita.
Goita?
Yes.
For how long?
We worship you. God is doing something here. You are here, touching every life. And we worship you. Chains are being broken now. Chains are being broken. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. Alaba grande ke liba hasikaya. Jesus. Holo mahashike de remeko nama. Hear me. Let this be your season for long awaited testimonies. Every heart desire that has been long overdue, God is causing it to manifest this season. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray for Mama. So look at me, my dear. Say she's your mom. Your mom. Are you the first? Thank you for this miracle. In the name of Jesus. Sukabaraladaba. In the name of Jesus Christ. God is asking me to declare for those of you who are trusting God for a change in job, this is your season. Now, something is going to happen in this service. There are 5 people in this service that will get a job that they didn't apply for. Yes, sir. 5 people. Lift your hands. Father, we release it upon them right now. By uncommon favor. In the name of Jesus Christ. Any door that must open, opens now. It opens now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Get ready for unusual testimonies. Now, all these ones in the front, I wanted to pick out a few people, but I will not, so that it doesn't look like I'm trying to, you know, what's the word? Segregate. Amen. But I pray in the name of Jesus that God will grant you your heart desires. Bethel, go back. It has been given. It has been granted. Do you hear me? Yeah. There are things I'll tell you much later, but you know, not now. It has been done. Alright? And you will see the hand of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Who is that woman there? No, that's Dr. Fatih now, she? I know her. Huh? Oh. Ah. You two, you want to go abroad? What's my own share? Amen. God bless you. Please return back to your seat. Clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. A few minutes.
Daddy.
Yeah.
You spoke about someone with the number
613. Yes. That's how the Lord showed me. I don't know.
We have Minister Debbie here.
613. It's not a phone number. The Lord said I should just say it. It makes sense to the person. 613. I don't know whether it's a code or whatever it is. God knows you, so He can use anything to identify you. Amen.
Daddy, this is Jacob. He said the password of one of his bank accounts is 613.
The password of one of your bank accounts is 613.
Yes, sir.
So you have to go and change it after now.
Okay, sir.
Alright?
Okay, then.
You know, I love that song they sang. When I go with my Lord Jesus into the battle, I am a winner. When I go with my Lord Jesus into the battle, I am a winner. When I go with my Lord Jesus into the battle, I am a winner. When I go with my Lord with my Lord Jesus into the battle, I am a winner.
When I go with my Lord Jesus into the battle, I am a winner.
Oh, when I go with my Lord Jesus into the battle, I am a winner.
When I go with my Lord Jesus into the battle, I am a winner.
When I go my Lord Jesus into the battle, I am a winner.
When I go with my Lord Jesus into the battle, I am a winner.
So I'm using that number to identify you, and I'm using it to give you a prophetic word. 613. Put up Isaiah 61 verse 3. This thing is not mathematics. It's not Sudoku. It's amen. God just tells you what to do and you just do it straight. Amen. Bishop, check that woman. It says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Take that as a prophetic word. And then let me give you an assignment. I want you to take 21 days Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
I've never asked you to do this before. I want you to take 21 days. You see, there is wealth by warfare. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
When you have fought the battle, you will enjoy the spoils of war.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
There's wealth by warfare. I want you to take 21 days. Maybe your wife can join you if possible. It's going to be warfare. Every night, if possible. If you can do it.
Okay, sir.
If you can do it every night. Even if it's just 1 hour in the night. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Look for scriptures on warfare. All right?
Yes, sir.
This is warfare to obtain everything that is yours.
Amen.
Now, if I tell you the vision I saw just now, it will make you frightened. So, leave it for me. Okay? But what I'm seeing is, if you can trust the Holy Spirit to do this for 21 days, everything that the enemy has stolen, it will be recovered.
Amen.
Are you hearing me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Everything that the enemy has stolen, it will be recovered. So 21 days.
Okay, sir.
I don't know if I will send you scripture, so go and check the Bible now, you know.
Okay, sir.
But take 21 days when you enter the month of October.
Okay.
Something is going to open up for you.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Grace is released for that.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God bless you. Return to your seat. Clap your hands for Jesus. This one, he said,
angel. Sisters, their sisters are angel.
Your sister is angel. Okay, two of you come. Let me know why I had to use your sister to locate you and pray for you. Your sister is not angel. Okay, no, you can go. Not that's not the one I'm looking at. See, the person I'm looking for in directly, her name was not Angel. She gave herself the name.
Her name is Angela, but she named herself Angel, so we call her Angel.
Eh.
Yes, her name is Angela.
But she called herself Angel.
Angel. Yes.
Very good. Is she younger than you?
Yes.
She's younger than you, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Because I'm seeing somebody who is like lower than 20 years or something.
Yes. Not maybe 2021.
2021?
Yes.
I've seen somebody around that bracket.
Yes. Yes.
All right?
Yes, sir.
There's a gentleman here. Say hallelujah. Are you getting blessed already? Thank you, Lord. There's a gentleman here. I don't know if your sister is a sickler, but I need to pray. There is a particular sister of yours. I don't know if she's a sickler, but the real issue is sickness, affliction. I want to pray for her. Say, gentleman, you are dark, and that your sister too is dark. Please come. Say, gentleman here. I don't know if she's a sickler, your sister. But the issue is sickness. I want to pray because the enemy wants to use that to, you know, take her life. She has had near-death episodes. But I want to pray. I want to invoke the mercy of God. You are dark, and that your sister is also dark. Please come quickly. All right.
Step forward. Let me pray for you. Both of you. You said you too. The sister is Angel.
Yes, sir.
Have I seen this angel?
Yes, sir.
Okay, she's here.
No, she's not here.
Okay. This angel, is this person still in the, is this person either about to enter the university or in the university?
She's done with school.
She's done with school?
Yes.
Wow.
She's in the university now.
She's in the university now.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, come and shake my hands. I'll give you a message for Angel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Where is she?
She's at home.
Here in Maiduguri?
Yes, sir.
Let her come next Sunday. No message for her. Why didn't you bring her? Huh? Is she watching now?
She will stream, I'm not sure.
She said she will stream. Okay, Angel, if you are streaming, find your way here. All right. I want to speak to her about three things: job, marriage, furthering of studies. All right.
Yes, sir.
This like a road. It's like three things. All right. And God wants to give her direction on which one first. Okay.
All right, sir.
So I think if Angel is in Maiduguri, she can find her way here.
Yes, she will come.
She will come back.
Yes, sir.
Angel, if you can come now, you come home. Come and receive her. But if she doesn't come now, maybe till next week, okay? So you just, these three things, okay? God wants to talk to her about it. Thank you very much. Then you said she's still in school?
She's in her final year.
She's in her final year.
Yes.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that she will conclude her education. And we thank you for open doors in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for open doors in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for open doors in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Go and tell her that that's what the Lord is saying. In the name of Jesus. Let's clap for Jesus. Amen. It's not everything, no. It's just the one that is good for camera. Amen. There are things you don't want to talk about. So we just leave it off camera. I want to share something quickly and then we'll pray again. Then maybe I still minister to a few people. This is power service. And God designed this service so that we can access the things that He has prepared for us. And also, so that He can enforce that which is rightfully ours in this season. The Bible says, once has He spoken, twice have I heard that power belongs to God. Why is He standing there?
That the young man whom you said has a sister that is dark as well as him, who falls into sickness often.
And today is her birthday, sir. She was born premature, sir.
Your sister?
Yes, sir.
And today is her birthday?
Yes, sir.
Prophecy is not guesswork. It can be. God will tell you crazy things. Just believe it and say it. Amen? What's her name?
Miracle.
Miracle. The siege over her life.
Amen.
From birth up until today has come to an end.
Amen.
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look, go back. Tell her that not only will she live, but the whole affliction, whatever, is over.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
And God is about to give her supernatural speed.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm telling you now?
Yes, sir.
God is about to give her supernatural speed.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
I'll talk to you about some other things later. Okay? But God is about to give her supernatural speed.
Amen.
The siege over her life has come to an end.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Second Chronicles chapter 28. And you said today is her birthday. Ah. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. Tell her she will not see another birthday sick. Hmm? Second Chronicles 28 from verse 1 to 8. So I believe that this is a season where we will see the hand of God manifest in our lives, and where God wants to bring to pass certain things He has designed for us. And that's why this service was put together. Miracle service is still next week. There will still be some other things that the Lord will do then. Amen. But I just sense very strongly that we can't come out of this month without God perfecting what He has intended concerning our lives. But I want to share a few things with us that will open our eyes to some things. And then we are going to pray. Second Chronicles chapter 28, I'll read from verse 1 to 8, and then I'll read from verse 16 to 25. When we entered the month of September, the Lord began to speak to me about what I call legal grounds. And I want to explain it a little bit for us, and then we will pray. There's always a question in the hearts of many people, why certain expectations in their life are not met. Why, after praying, believing God, fasting, and doing everything that one knows to do to secure certain deliverables, why they are not forthcoming? I remember there was a time I had the privilege of praying for someone who had not been able to conceive, and as God will have it, the person conceived, and it was a good news, of course, to me, to the person, and to every person around. And then after about a few months, you know, I got a call one day, and miscarriage was gone. That was years ago. I felt very bad. I felt very bad. And I had to go back to ask questions. And, you know, sometimes when you see certain things not happening the way they should happen, it's time to go back in the place of prayer and find out from God where we have missed it or what could be wrong, and trust Him to help fix it. So God began to speak to me about legal grounds when we're entering the month of September. And that's what I want to talk to us today about before we pray. And then trust God for a release. The Bible says in Psalms 11 verse 3 that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations there can mean many things. The foundations can mean principles that have been tampered with. The foundations there can mean order as God has set that has been broken. Things that God has put in a particular sequence that has been altered. The Bible says if those foundations are destroyed, then what can the righteous do? In Romans chapter 3 verse 23, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it is sin that makes us fall short of the access that we have to the glory of God. The glory of God is the life of God, is the nature of God that can manifest or can be at work in the life of a man. But there are hindrances that can stop that from manifesting. So 2 Chronicles chapter 28 from verse 1 to 8, I want to pick the story of a king and then use it to show us a few things and then we'll pray. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Please look at this story very well, everyone. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made molded images for the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire. Look at that level of evil. Imagine somebody passing his children through fire. You know that's death. According to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel, he was doing things that made God destroy nations before the children of Israel entered Canaan, or when the children of Israel entered Canaan. He didn't stop there. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Therefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. They defeated him and carried away a great multitude of them as captives and brought them to Damascus. Then he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel and defeated him with a great slaughter. So everybody was defeating him with all the idolatry he was doing. Let's continue. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, that was the king of Israel as at that time, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day. All valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So you see that when there is death consistently in a family or in a community or in a territory, something is wrong. Especially of a large number, something is definitely wrong. Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, Azrikam, the officer over the house, and Elkanah, who was second to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons and daughters. And they also took away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. Now let's jump to verse 16. At the same time, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria to help him. For again, the Edomites had come, attacked Judah, and carried away captives. See, another nation coming to defeat them again. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the lowland and of the south of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Aijalon, Gedroth, Sokol with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages, and they dwelt there. Let's continue. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. Also Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came to him and distressed him and did not assist him. For Ahaz took part of the treasures from the house of the Lord, from the house of the king, and from the leaders, and he gave it to the king of Assyria, but he did not help him. I think you should change this protocol. This is that King Ahaz. It says, wait, go back to the previous verse. Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. You know, there are some people that the more they are in problems, the last thing they want to do is turn to God. Bible says he became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. Next verse. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the kings of Syria help them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. Is this foolishness or witchcraft? I don't know which one. In a time where your country is already in trouble, the last thing you want to do is close the house of God. But that's what he did. And he made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Not altars to God, though. And in every single city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Legal grounds. Listen, when you become born again as a believer, your salvation, please look at me because I won't preach for long. Your salvation was orchestrated by both illegal means. There is a legal aspect of your salvation and there is a vital aspect of it. Legally, by the blood of Jesus, you have been saved. You have been redeemed from the penalty of sin. Now, vitally, because you have been saved and because it is documented by the blood of Jesus that he died for your sin, and so you are no longer supposed to die because of sin. Because of that, God has sent his spirit to live inside of you. So the reason why we have the spirit of God living in us as born again Christians is because it is a proof of the fact that we have been saved. We have been free from sin. So now that you are born again, the way Satan will attack you will be different. Satan will need a legal means to get a hold of you. If it's an unbeliever, that one is already in trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, an unbeliever is, Satan can come anytime. You understand what I'm saying? It's like kuli-kuli, you just keep somewhere in your house. You can come anytime and just eat. But when a man is born again, he has been saved, and the Spirit of God dwells in him, that person legally is no longer under the power of Satan. So the only way Satan does not have a right over that person. Never and never will be. So what Satan can do is find a legal premise by which he can get a hold of that person. Let me explain. If somebody travels to another country, let's say you travel to the United Kingdom or you travel to the United States or Canada, and maybe your immigration process was not proper. You did like this and got there. You know that like this, like this. And all those people that came out, please make sure you go through the correct procedure that they don't take your money. Because if they take your money, you come, I will still pray, I will pray again. But so if you travel and your immigration is not proper, I hope you know that you can be harassed at any time. You can be deported. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you can't deport a citizen of the nation. You can't harass the citizen of the nation. I don't know about Nigeria. You know, if you go to the United States, if you are a citizen of the United States, they take pride in their citizenship. But yeah, Nigeria, I think you need to add the blood of Jesus to your citizenship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, that's how it is. When you are born again, the devil does not have right over you. The Bible says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You are now under another government, under another authority. So Satan has no right at all. What he will look for is a reason against you. So when we entered the month of September and God began to talk to me about legal grounds, I needed to understand what God was saying. And the Lord told me that for some of us, the main reason why certain expectations are not manifesting is not because God is not able to. The Bible says his hands are not short to deliver us, neither is his ears deaf to hearing us. It says, but our iniquity have separated us, our sin. And I know it's not the kind of message that people want to hear again and again. But if you have been somewhere in life before, where you have prayed, you have fasted, you have done everything, and nothing is working, you want to know exactly why, what is going on. I know that because as a pastor, people come to me with cases that even me, I know it is impossible. You know, sometimes I just feel that people really, I think I was even thinking about it today. One of the reasons why people are always after men of God like this and like that, they have questions that they know only God can answer. So since the God is invisible and you have decided to be the one that they can see, they'll make sure they hold you very well. It's either you call that your God to appear and defend you, or you find an answer and give to them. Sometimes people ask us questions and forget that we are men of God. So one of the main reasons why somebody can be stagnated, why certain things can remain at a spot in a person's life, why despite all of the promises of God, you don't find it materializing as God has designed it to be, maybe because there are legal grounds that the enemy has exploited. So like I said, what the devil will do is he will look for a reason to attack you. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. The devil will study around your life. He will try to look for a place in your life where he knows he can pitch you against God. He will try to look for something around your life that does not correspond with the will of God, and then try to exploit that place. And I'll give you a few of these things. Some of these legal grounds that can be used by the enemy to bring about delay. And you know, the devil, he may not want to attack until he knows that there's something in it for you and for him. He may not attack you when he knows that there's nothing coming yet. In fact, Satan may not attack you when you are not near a Kairos season. No, he can just leave you where you are. But when you are getting close to a Kairos season, when you are getting close to an opportune season, when something is meant to open, sometimes you can even feel it inside of you that something is supposed to happen this season for me. Sometimes you can even have series of dreams. That's the season Satan will come. He knows that there's something that you have to lose, and he stands to gain something. And amongst many things that the devil stands to gain, He wants to make sure he brings you to a point where you no longer believe God. Yes. He wants to, if he can do anything to make sure that before your eyes, the word of God concerning your life does not come to pass. Anything to ridicule the integrity of God in your life is what he wants to do. Because once the door to God is shut in your life, that's the end of the day. And that's what happened with this king. Somehow in all of his nonsense, the last place he turned to was God. I don't know what his problem with God was. You were the one who started idolatry. You knew what the commandment said. And Ahaz was one of the kings of Judah. But he kept going into idolatry again and again and again and again and again. So it was like he was deceived by the devil. And the last place he would go to was God. Idolatry, witchcraft, putting his hand into all kinds of things. Just the way the devil will always try to tempt us to think that there are many options. I've seen the devil push some Christians to a point where they begin to seek after malams. I've seen the devil push some Christians to a point where they will drop their deaconship title and travel to the village to see a native doctor behind their baba's house. And then return back. While they are on that trip, they are still calling their pastor, please be praying for us. So you have not seen that one before. Forget. That's why, you see, if you are a pastor and they come to you for prayers, pray, but use your eyes. Not this eye. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Legal grounds. Pride is one of those legal grounds. Pride. Pride. In fact, pride is like the mother of all sins. Anything that makes a man feel he can do without God is called pride. You want to know why people don't pray? Pride. You want to know why people are tired of praying and they feel that there can be some other options apart from seeking God? Pride. 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 That's the case in this king's life. He has. He was increasingly unfaithful to God. Increasingly unfaithful to God. There was also another king who had this problem of pride. His name is Manasseh. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1 to 13. In fact, this one, God had to humble him. They bound him with chains and took him to the land of the enemy. And it was there that he was humbled, and then he cried back to God. And God delivered him and brought him back. Pride. Pride. Anything that deceives you to think that there is another option apart from God is pride. Is pride. And once there is pride, Satan can explore that ground and come in. And you know, the Bible says that the devil knows his time is short. So there's something that I want Christians to know about the devil. The devil can wreak a lot of havoc in a short time. He has been on earth for thousands of years. He understands us human beings. He always knows his time is short. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He knows he doesn't have authority on earth. The heaven of heavens belong to God, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. So earth and heaven belongs to men and to God. So Satan is here. He has no power in heaven. He has no authority on earth. So any opportunity he has in the life of men, he knows how to wreak havoc in a short time. Ask Job. Was it not in one day everything happened? You know, Satan knows it's not like God that can be everywhere at the same time. And since he's not everywhere at the same time, he has mastered another formula to be omnipresent. He has demons everywhere. He has agents everywhere. Some of the reasons why people become proud,
can even be due to things that God gave them. People can become proud with many things, even with spiritual gifts, even with anointings that God gave to them. People can become proud with them. And once there is pride, you have opened a door. You have released a soft ground, a legal ground for the enemy to explore. Number two, sin. Isaiah 50 verse 1 to 2. Sin. Once there is sin, Satan has access to come in. He can pitch you against God on that ground of sin. He says, thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves. How were they sold? By their iniquities. You know, I told you before that witchcraft is one of the ways by which people can be sold. Sin too. And when I say sell, I want us to understand this. What does it mean for a family to be sold? When I'm talking from a spiritual perspective, think of slavery. When you sell a person as a slave, you know that person doesn't have a will. Everything the person that bought him says, that's what they will do. In fact, most times they will brand you. They will put a mark on you. You are now, the person who bought you is now your owner. Anything the person says is what you will do. There are families that are sold. There are individuals that are sold. There are people living another destiny, not their own. I'm telling you. Anytime they sleep, they will see another person. They will see themselves, but they will see another life. But physically, it's not what they see in their dream that is manifesting physically. There are people who in their dreams, they see themselves wealthy. But when they wake up, even rats, you know, they say as poor as church rats. Have you seen that before? Sin is also one way by which people can be sold. When a man is sold, everything is clueless about his future. Everything around his life is laid up to chance. There is never any point in his life where he has a grip on anything. When a man is sold, he can be anointed and be sold. The children of Israel were God's covenant children, but they were in captivity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I wish I had the time to really break down this cell, it's sold, or you know what it means to be sold. Sin. That's why the devil will stop at nothing bringing temptation. Why? Because he knows that once you fall, he has a legal ground to exploit. And he also knows that the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Right? So he knows that forgiveness is automatic. And because forgiveness is automatic, as soon as you confess, the moment you fall, he goes behind the scene and orchestrates something. So that before you even ask God for forgiveness, he has set something in motion. Now, God will forgive you, you realize. But sooner or later, you begin to deal with consequences. Why? Because the Satan himself is exploiting a legal ground. Yes, God has forgiven you of the sin, but you made an action. You set something in motion. And because of the law of cause and effect, Satan will take advantage of that law. Listen, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. That's a legal terminology. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He knows how to take advantage of laws. Yes, God has forgiven you for the sin, but it was an action you committed. And because of that action, there will be a reaction. So he has gone to the other side to ensure that the reaction is what he wants. But in the name of Jesus, any dramatic occurrence around your life that is manipulated by the devil due to any legal ground that he has exploited, it is coming to an end in this service. It is coming to an end in this service. In the name of Jesus Christ. Sin. Sexual immorality too. You know, the Bible says that every sin a man commits is outside his body, but the sin of immorality is against your body. It says, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It says, if any man defiles the Lord's temple, him shall the Lord destroy. Isn't it? Good. So watch this. Satan will tempt you into sexual immorality because he knows that it is written that he that defiles the Lord's temple, him shall the Lord destroy. So he tempted you to immorality. And now that you have committed the sin, guess who will pay for it? Who brought the temptation? Who will pay for it? Are you seeing how skillful the devil is? He knows how to pitch you against God and then just leave you there. And set certain things in motion. That's how curses travel through lineages. That's how curses travel through family trees. That's how wrong patterns travel through families. Because we don't know the person we are dealing with. He uses legal grounds. And then there is also satanic covenants and oaths. Satanic covenants and oaths. Satanic covenants. You know, there are three kinds of covenants. There is spoken covenant, there is written covenant, and there is blood covenant. Spoken covenants are spoken agreements, verbal agreements. Now, do you know that anything that you say about yourself is considered a covenant, is considered an agreement? Or anybody that has an authority in a family and says something over that family or speaks on behalf of that family has binded the entire family into some form of agreement by what they said. Jesus said, by your words you are justified and by your words you are condemned. That's spoken agreement, spoken covenant. Ye shall decree a thing and it shall be established, and the light will shine on your path. There is written covenant. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 14, having blotted out the handwriting of ordinance, King James says ordinance, New King James says requirements, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Handwriting, that means it was written. Written. What was written? It was the law that we could not keep, and it stood against us. But Jesus took it and nailed it on the cross. So there can be written agreements. Written agreements. And Satan can explore those agreements. Somebody can go and meet a baba. Like I remember, I think I told you the story one time. A gentleman came for one of our services in Compassion there. And power of God was so strong on him after the service. And, you know, they brought him to me. And he began to confess some things to me. He told me that he had gone to Malams and they had given him about 7 rings. This ring is for this one. This ring is for that one. This ring is for the... true life, I'm telling you. This ring is for this one. This ring is for that one. Even though I was laughing that day, because the person with 7 rings was lying down on the ground. And I was wondering where the power of the 7 ring was. Now,
that scenario, the agreement he made with those spirits, the spirits will not tell him completely everything that they will demand from him. But he can get married now and give birth to children, and those children can begin to have setback upon setback. Why? Because there was an agreement with my father that I'm not even aware of. And the devil is interested in the fact that you are not aware. So that before you become aware, he must have wreaked enough damage. But that's why there's something called restoration in the kingdom. And I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, any agreement that was entered into without your knowledge and that has affected your life, in the name of Jesus, in this service, we declare restoration. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to pray now. So how do you handle these legal grounds? How do you deal with these legal issues? Number one, genuine repentance. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. My people. But it says, if they humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. They are my people, but they have wicked ways. Many of us, what is sabotaging our destiny is our wicked ways. Please look at me now before we pray. Some of us are wicked ways. Some of us lie too much. Please don't hate me, oh, as I'm talking now. This part of the, don't hate me, no. When I was prophesying, all those you were receiving back, don't hate me. Look at me very well. Don't bring down your eye. Look at me. Wicked ways. You say my people, but they have wicked ways. Gossiping. How can somebody speak evil of a man of God and expect to that breakthroughs will be happening for them? Under which constitution? Can I be honest with us? There are some of us here, we are stagnated because of the position of our heart towards your man of God or your pastor. It must not be me. But I'm just honest with you. What happened to Micaiah, the wife of David? When David was dancing and they were bringing the ark, the Bible says she despised him in her heart. And she was so foolish, she would have just kept it in her heart. When the king came in, you know, Micaiah was the first wife. She married David when he was nothing. You understand? So, I mean, I know you now. That problem of over-familiarity, that can also be a legal ground. Who you be? You killed Goliath, so they carried me and gave me to you. So I can tell you anything. I beg. Say, now, wow, king, that's where today. And the Bible says that God shut her womb. Some of us, I'm telling you, if you know the little thing that can peg some people to a spot, some of us gossip. Some of us have gossiped another person somewhere. Or some of us, unforgiveness. One legal issue or the other that the enemy has exploited. And we're going to deal with it this night before we leave. For some of us, those legal grounds, you know, can also be foundational issues that have not been dealt with. See, let me tell you, in this life, if you are praying about something and it seems impossible, most times, check, there is a foundational issue. There is a foundational issue. There is something, let me tell you the truth, your future is greatly connected to your foundation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, there are battles in this life that will never surface until you are about to
enter certain levels in life. There are certain things on the ground that you may not know until you are about to climb some certain heights. I heard the story of a pastor who got a visa lottery from Delta State and then collected money from people, collected, he was used to borrowing money from people, so they just, oh yeah, take and go, take and go. Got money, traveled to US, got a job there, and was also preaching and all of that, and he was doing well. Now this pastor left from Delta State, and when he left, he went to US. Life was good. One day he slept, and in the night he had a dream, and he saw three people in his dream appear to him. They told him, they say, where are you from? He mentioned the name of his village. They said, did you see any of your village people here? He said, no. They said, go back. True story. This guy woke up from that. He woke up rebuking. I rebuke. They said, go back. When he woke up from that dream, he used to take the train to go to work. From that dream, any night he wants to sleep, the whole place will be turning. The bed will be turning around, so he can't sleep. So in the morning, he doesn't sleep in the night. So in the morning, he will walk to the train station where he will board the train to, and then he will sit on the bench waiting for the train. So he says, okay, let me just sleep small. When the train comes, I will go to work. He will sleep there. When he wakes up, people are coming back from work. Eventually, he lost his job. Not only that, everything, you know, to sum the whole thing, he came back to Delta State, to his village, with his traveling bag and his sandals. A pastor. I heard this one from Apostle John C. Suleiman. This was years ago. Legal grounds. There are certain times in life when you are opposed by certain things, and when you have prayed through and it's not working, check foundation. There may be something entrenched. There must be something that the enemy is exploring that needs to be dealt with. And it will be dealt with tonight in the name of Jesus. So genuine repentance. Confess the known sin. Forsake it. Make a U-turn. And turn to God. Number two. How do you handle legal grounds? Arm yourself with the weapons of victory. Arm yourself with the weapons of victory. Revelations 12 verse 11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. There are those things we call the weapons of victory. One of the things I've discovered about believers is many of us don't know how to pray. And please, this way I want you to listen to me before we pray. The first weapon of your victory is the blood of Jesus. By that blood you were saved. By that blood you were redeemed. That blood is the proof that you have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That you have been redeemed from sin. That blood is the receipt of your freedom. So anytime you are faced with a battle situation, or you are trying to deal with legal grounds that the enemy has exploited in your life, start with the blood. Start with the blood. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. Once you raise the issue of the blood, you have brought him to a standstill. Number two, the Bible says they overcame him by the word of their testimony. The word of God. The word of God. Is there anybody that has a Bible here? Not phone. Bible. Real Bible. Huh? Bring. Please give me. Let me show you something before we pray. You may forget many things tonight, but don't forget this. Otherwise, one day you would be forced to remember. You see this. To unbelievers, this is a religious book. Right? Do you know what this is to us? This is the constitution of the kingdom that we come from. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Number two, this is your access to everything that God has for you. What that means is, anything at all that you want God to do, as long as you can find it here, it is doable. Oh, you can clap better if you want to. Listen, many Christians pray out of fear. That prayer will not go anywhere. Many Christians pray because they are desperate. It's good to pray that you are desperate, but desperation does not match for knowing the principles. When you are going against the devil, when you are handling legal issues, you need to handle it the legal way. Find where you can counter what the devil is doing from here and take it to the place of prayer. In fact, if you go to the place of prayer without consulting this place, you may come out more confused. Because God is not committed to you simply because you pray. No, He's committed to you because you know His word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How did Jesus defeat Satan? The temptation, it is written. Second one, it is written. Third one, so if people die anyhow in your family at a certain age, how do you pray against that kind of thing? Father, any death eating people in my family, the spirit realm doesn't know what you are saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The spirit realm doesn't know what you are saying. But if you can find a scripture like the one in Isaiah chapter 65, I think it's even verse 15 or so. It says, just like new wine is found in a cluster of grapes, and it says, destroy it not, for there is a blessing in it. It says, so shall I not destroy all of you. Have you seen that scripture before? Have you seen the one that says, I shall not die but live? Because your access is based on how much you know. Listen, when you come to me as a man of God with your problem, there are times God will speak. There are times God doesn't speak. In fact, many times God doesn't speak. So the next thing to do as a man of God is, if God is not speaking, is there a provision in scripture that counters what this person is saying? If I can get a hold of it, this situation is solved. And then you take that and get into the place of prayer and rewrite the story of your family. Rewrite the history of your family. Rewrite the story of your destiny. Listen, you can, there are scriptures, there are provisions from the word of God here that you can literally take and change the order of things in your life in such a way that your life will become different from those in your family. Your own possibilities will be different from what other people are seeing. Not because you are lucky, but simply because you have found something in the word of God that gives you a different access. I want wealth. How many scriptures do you know about wealth? Because it is through the scriptures that you will know the different ways by which you can enter into kingdom wealth. That's how to handle legal grounds. Arm yourself with weapons of victory. As a young person, look for scriptures that will be like bulletproofs in aspects of your life. You want to secure certain aspects of your life, look for scriptural promises about those aspects and then use them to buckle your life. How many scriptures of favor do you know? How many of them have you meditated on and prayed them enough to see manifest in your life? That's how to do it. Because see, there are times when God may not speak to you. I hope you know. There are times God will not speak to you. When they stood before the Red Sea,
Egyptians were coming behind them. They cried to Moses. Moses cried to God. God said, why are you crying to me? Tell them to move forward. He says, but lift up the rod that is in your hand. In other words, I've already given you the rod. Let this word of God become like a rod in your life, by which you will navigate your way and enter into everything that God has designed for you. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready to pray tonight? Please rise on your feet. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to lead us to pray, three prayers, and then we are done tonight. And this prayer is very, very peculiar because of some of the things that will begin to manifest in our lives. You are going to pray against every force that makes it difficult for your helpers to help you. Many of us, the reason why it's difficult for you to be helped, don't blame the people that are not responding to you. It's because there's something on your life that cripples those who try to help you. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. There are people that the moment you say you will give them something, everything goes dry around you. You are going to break those forces. Are you ready? Are you ready tonight? Please hold somebody's hand. We are going to pray this prayer as a form of agreement. By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. And by the Holy Ghost and power, just like the prophets foretold, this is the day of the latter rain. God is moving in His power again. By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. And by the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. And by the Holy Ghost and power, this is the day of the gathering. In His power again, by the anointing, Jesus breaks. Say after me, O Lord, my Father. I can't hear you. O Lord, my Father. Collapse and destroy every satanic force that makes it difficult for my helpers to help me in Jesus' name. Say, collapse and destroy every satanic force that makes it difficult for my helpers to help me in Jesus' name. Pray that for 60 seconds. Collapse and destroy. Collapse and destroy every satanic force.
Come on, pray. Every force that makes it difficult for my helpers to help you, in the name of Jesus, collapse and destroy them. Collapse and destroy them. Collapse and destroy them. Every satanic force that makes it difficult for my helpers to help me. In Jesus' name we pray. 2 Kings 25 verse 27 to 30. Two more prayers and then we are done tonight. There's somebody you're connected to with the name Patrick. And I want to pray concerning this Patrick, because there's some money tied up somewhere that needs to be released. And I would also appreciate if you are aware of that. There's a Patrick connected to you, and this Patrick has money tied up somewhere that needs to be released. I want to pray for that person. Please come quickly. 2 Kings 25 verse 27 to 30. There's somebody God is showing me. There's a young man. Your grandmother is sick. Now, your grandmother is sick. And I want you to come. I want to agree with you that she will not die. Your grandmother, you're a man, a young guy. That's what I'm seeing. A young guy, a young boy. Your grandmother is sick. Please come quickly. We are out of time. Please, quickly. We're going to pray. 2 Kings 25, I'm waiting for you people, please. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, imagine the name of somebody is evil, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, despite the fact that his name is evil, see what happened. He released Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, from prison. Go on. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garment. You are changing from your prison garment. That your amen is looking for my trouble. It's not literally what you are wearing, but some of you are putting on some filthy garments in the realm of the spirit. But in the name of Jesus, you are changing from that garment.
Let's finish the reading. It says, and he changed from his prison garment, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. That's not all though. Next verse. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king. By the king whose name was Evil. Help and favor from high places. Locate me in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Help and favor from high places. Locate me in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you pray. I can't hear you pray. I can't hear you pray. Help from above. Help from high places. Favor from kings. Favor from nobles. Favor from kings. From those in position. Balakaria dakasiketeya. May God twist their arms to favor you. I don't want you to miss next Sunday. Amen. We just started some things. But let me make some decrees tonight on your life. One of the things that the Lord assured me of before coming today, hear me, is that there will be 24-hour miracles. I'm not saying the God that you know. I'm saying the God I know. Lift your hands. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, anything that you have released in this season for your children, that the enemy is about to divert, that the enemy is attempting to delay, to manipulate, in the name of Jesus, I bring an end to satanic manipulations. I put a stop to satanic manipulations. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release the angels of God your way this season. Let contracts be released. Letters of appointments be released. Anything that was designed to be yours that has been delayed, that has been delayed, that has been denied, that has been diverted, is forcefully released into your hand. Is forcefully released into your hand. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands. I release divine empowerment over your life. Please lift those hands high. I release divine empowerment into your life. The Lord said I should declare this. Anything you could not do from January up until now, receive divine empowerment to start doing it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Any manipulation through your dreams, any manipulation through your dreams, any satanic manipulation through your dreams, I cut it off now. I cut it off now.
I cut it off now. I cut it off now. I cut it off now.
Please keep your hands lifted. Any form of oppression. Any form of oppression. In this service, right now, by the power of the Holy Ghost, satanic oppressions in form of afflictions, in form of manipulations, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that you are free. 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 You are free. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, by angelic assistance, I declare within the next 12 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours, before this month is over, may my God surprise you. May my God surprise you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I see that the Lord will visit some people before 1st of October. That's what I'm seeing. And right now I declare, receive it in the name of Jesus. Between now and 1st of October, may God visit you mightily. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every form of disgrace around your life, every form of shame around your life, may God replace it with double honor. May God replace it with double honor. He said, for your shame you shall have double. And I therefore release double into your life. Double into your life. Double into your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. The favor of God rewrites your story now. The favor of God rewrites your story now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, please put your right hand on your chest. Just put your right hand on your chest and be still. There are 9 of you that the Lord is going to visit now. I don't know why the Lord said 9, but that's what I'm hearing in my spirit. You know, when a woman is pregnant at the 9th month, it is time for delivery. Sometimes you need the power of God to provoke certain manifestations. And I decree and declare, every new level that is yours in the spirit, every new position that you ought to climb into, anything that is long overdue for your destiny and for your life, in the name of Jesus, I place the power of God on your life and I declare that you are moving into that next level. You are moving into that next level right now. Touch! Now! Step into that next level. New dimensions of grace. New dimensions of the anointing. Take it now, where you are, where you are standing. Take it now. By the power of the Spirit of God, angels are taking you to that next level. They are lifting you. Access that new level right now. And everything that has held you back, everything that has held you, is breaking loose right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Grandmother?
Yes, sir.
Your grandmother, where is she?
She's at her home.
Huh?
She's at her home.
Where is home?
Here.
Here in Maiduguri?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you are not your grandmom. She's in the hospital?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold your hands. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Father, we release the blood of Jesus. We declare that death will not come to this family. And as I'm stretching my hand, I'm seeing the angel of the Lord moving in the congregation now. Every sentence of death, whether it is for you or any member of your family, that sentence of death is revoked. Is revoked. Is revoked. No family will cry in this season. In the name of Jesus Christ. It is done. It is done. The two of you, I'm giving the two of you, between now and miracle service, they'll be up on their feet. You'll come back and testify. Clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Are you blessed tonight? Wave your hands and tell him thank you. Something has opened up. Something has opened up. The Lord said there will be divine appointments. I see the Lord fixing people. That's what I'm seeing. You know, it's like you are rotating. How do you call it? Yes. Shuffling, reshuffling. I see God reshuffling people. Many of you are going to enter places you never expected or imagined. Amen. Where's Dr. Wycliffe? I saw, I don't know, but maybe I'll spill it out of the bag. Something is about to happen for you. I don't know if you are aware of it, but something is about to happen in you, for your career. Are you hearing me, sir? Don't worry. You can just be there. All right? Something is about to happen for your career.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
And when it happens, you'll move from where you are.
Amen. Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Amen.
I won't say more than that. Maybe your colleague or your people from your organization are yes. I won't say more than that. But something's about to happen and you move from where you are.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Amen.
So the Patricks. They are connected to Patrick.
Huh?
Patrick.
Who is Patrick to you?
My cousin brother.
And you, sir?
The husband to my auntie.
Uh-huh. The husband to your auntie.
Yes, sir.
Please step forward. I said money is owed him. Like his money is tied up somewhere. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. He died as a lieutenant colonel.
Do you know why I told you to step forward?
No, sir.
When you were standing there, I saw an armored tank moving. Apparently, I didn't know. It's a military issue. He died as a lieutenant colonel.
Yes, sir.
And his benefits are still pending.
Yes, sir.
But in the name of Jesus, go and tell your auntie, look at me, sir, that between now and October 31st, God has remembered her.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Files are going to be opened, okay? And everything in full will be paid and backdated.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Clap for Jesus. You too, Patrick. You too, Patrick.
Brother. So his father died since 2012. He was working with drugs.
Oh.
Drugs low. So up to now, father
was working with where?
Drugs. NDLEA.
Okay. NDLEA.
Yes.
Okay. He said it as is DSS.
Okay.
Yes.
Father, show them mercy.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well. Let's clap our hands and give the Lord Jesus praise. Amen. Before we go tonight, if you are here and you are in need of surrender to Jesus, you want Him to be your Lord and Savior, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus while we are all still standing, please repeat this prayer after me right where you are and mean it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I receive you into my heart and I proclaim you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you made that prayer with me, please raise your right hand. Let me see you unashamedly. Please, wherever you are, wave your right hand. Let me see you.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.